Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder, and it's a pleasure to have you joining us no matter where you are listening from. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our ministry. Got some really exciting things going on at Patchwork Heart Ministry. Want you to check it out. If you head over to patchworkheart.org, you're going to find out all about our ministry and the many things that are going on there. You can download our podcasts every week. We have devotionals out there. We just finished up the Las Posadas, but you know, after Christmas comes Lent pretty rapidly. We got us great Stations of the Cross for you as well. So check out these ways that we minister to young adults through speaking engagements and other things. We really encourage you to check us out. Again, the website is patchworkheart.org. And of course, spread this radio show. One of the biggest ways that you can support our ministry is by sharing this radio show and podcast with another friend. So go ahead, do that, and it will be a great way to evangelize with, you know, just a few clicks of a mouse or on your cell phone. So really appreciate all that you do to help our ministry. Today, my guest is Penny Warner, and Penny has an incredible story. She's been on our program a few times before, but she's married to her husband, Matt, and has been married for 26 years. They have four children, but were originally Southern Baptists, and they converted to the Catholic faith together in 2000. Penny has developed a beautiful chaplet called the Love Chaplet, which is ecclesiastically approved in her diocese by Bishop Johnston. And the chaplet is incredible. We've talked about it on previous programs. And since then, she has developed a ministry called Grace and Mercy Ministries to help share the chaplet and her growing ministry throughout the world. So it's beautiful. She has some songs. She's put the Love Chaplet to songs. She's a musician herself. She has some beautiful music. So, Penny, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me back. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, me too, me too. The Holy Spirit always has an incredible plan when two or three of us gather. Christ is with us, and, talking to you off-air before our episode and a couple of days ago, you said to me, you know, what can we talk about? And, you know, let's pray about it and let's think about it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of led me in prayer to maybe ask you a little bit about the holiday season. And, you know, we just, Christmas was yesterday. And there's a lot of dynamics in families. There's a lot of things that go on around the holidays, family parties, workplace parties. And it's, you know, can be increasingly challenging to live our faith, believe it or not, during this season, right? It's a hard time to live your faith, even though more of us are setting foot in church.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that is so true because, you know, our families are so different. It's definitely not, doesn't look always like the perfect picture that we see with the Christmas tree and all the children, you know, in their pajamas and their moms and dad there. You know, there's so many different family dynamics. And it is hard around the Christmas season, the Christmas holiday. I remember, you know, one thing that ties us all together is prayer. And that's one thing that we can count on during the season, is that prayer before and through Christmas and then after. And it's one thing that is consistent that in our family we've tried to develop. And so I just, that's the thing that ties it all together for us is prayer in this season.
Beautiful. I know you have some different experience and some different background in your family around the Christmas time, and have had some different experiences of good Christmases and bad Christmases. So I kind of want you to share a little bit of your story with us, if you don't mind.
Sure, no problem. I remember back in 83, Mom got very ill. And when she was here and I was younger, our Christmases tended to be, you know, like the normal worldly like Christmas, where it's always, you know, the presents and Santa Claus. And, you know, we would go to church, but it really wasn't a big priority during that time. But my mom passed away that year, and I was 12 years old. And it was actually November, the month right before Christmas, that she passed. And so my sister and I went to stay with my aunt and uncle. And I remember that Christmas vividly, because not only was it the year that my mom died, but it kind of was a transition in our lives to where it went from Santa Claus and Christmas trees to church. My aunt and uncle were Catholic. Like you said, I was Baptist at the time growing up. And so they were Catholic. And so when we went to visit them, it was a different time, because they focused more on going to church. We went to Mass. We went to Christmas Eve Mass. We went to Christmas Day Mass. And so it wasn't so much the Santa Claus and Christmas trees. It was more of what Christmas was supposed to be focused on, and that was the Mass. And it became a beautiful thing for us at the time, especially at the time when my sister and I were going through such a rough time. And my aunt and uncle knew that we were going through a rough time, and that's what brought us through, was the prayer and the Mass. Not to know that that was what we were going to do when I got to be an adult, you know, because I was Baptist up until I was adult. So, but it was a good way to transition from my mother passing away to afterwards, and putting the focus more on prayer and the Mass.
Yeah, you know, that's really beautiful. That's really beautiful that the Catholic faith in some way, even though you weren't practicing Catholic at the time, you were still Christian, you were still Baptist, but the Catholic faith, you know, stepped in a moment of need in your life without you even realizing it, probably until many years later. But the Catholic faith stepped in, and the richness and the depth of that and the treasure that the church holds, right? It was present during that one of the most sad and tough times of your life. And I bet you that had a positive impact on you as you went throughout your life and your view of the church, right?
Yes.
Your view of the church was something that was positive and that you wanted to be around because it was able to minister to you and meet your needs. Christ was able to meet your needs through that. And what a beautiful way, you know, to think about that. But were there other, you know, dynamics in your family that also kind of played a role you know, struggling through some Christmases? Do you remember any Christmases that were, you know, tough to deal with, different family members? I mean, I have a host of, you know, things that I could talk about, but I'm just wondering if you have had any, you know, difficult Christmases with the personalities in your family that, and trying to live your faith through it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, different families, and like you said, personalities, you can't control every situation, even though we'd like to try. So we do have to live with each other's personalities. Of course, with being married, you know, we have two different families and two different point of views. I know on my dad's side of the family, you know, they had a huge Christmas dinner. You know, the women were in the kitchen cooking, and it was an all day thing. And it was more really focused on the food, you know, that was good food. But there was no mention of Jesus or mass or church or anything. It was really more focused on getting together as a family, which is not a bad thing. But when you don't have that commonality between you and them, because there's no religious aspect to it whatsoever, it's hard to find that common ground. So my dad's side of the family was really a hard thing. My mom's side of the family was the side that brought the religious aspect into it. And, you know, you can tell the difference, because it's so much calmer when you have that common ground, the, you know, Christ and what it's focused about and all that. But, you know, like you said, we all have different personalities that we have to overcome. But we have seen that prayer has brought some of those personalities together, because it's one thing that can bring, it's the string that brings everything together. Whether it's, you know, chaotic time, you can all stop and pray, and then it all kind of brings calmness back to the time together. So I don't know if that made sense or not.
No, it does. It really does. You know, prayer is so important. I think in those moments when it does get chaotic and there's a lot going on, to be creative in your prayer. You know, I remember in my, just to bounce off your example, you know, I remember there was a time in my life when we were all, you know, having a family dinner, I was home or whatever it was. And oftentimes my mom would say, hey, you know, this person is, you know, sick, or this person is whatever, you know, you're just a routine to just stop and pray right then and right there. You know, my mom was like, hey, you know what, let's just stop and pray right now, you know, and let's just say a quick Our Father. Let's say a quick Hail Mary. Let's just pray for that person right now. And in the chaos and in that stuff, you know what, it's okay to excuse yourself to the bathroom or excuse yourself to the whatever and upstairs or whatever, and just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to spend 3 minutes, you know, just saying, you know, a couple of prayers here. You know, speak from the heart to God, say a few Hail Marys, Our Fathers, whatever it is. It transforms that situation and gives you a different outlook. It doesn't always, as you mentioned, you can't always control what other people do, right? I mean, we'd love to be able to control what other people do, but we can't. But what does prayer do? Prayer changes us. Prayer doesn't necessarily change them. It changes us and helps us look at the situation in a different way. So that's some really great insight, Penny. And would you believe how fast 13 minutes flies on the radio? It always flies so fast. So yeah, so I got to take that short break, but when I come back, we'll continue our conversation, because I know there's so much more to talk about with you, and of course talk a little bit about all your ministry and what you have going on these days as well, because it's so powerful and so awesome. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
At times it seems like the world today is filled with so much division, bigotry, and hatred. So it's up to us to make sure that we get back to the basics, and that is Jesus Christ and His message of faith, hope, and love. Faith, Hope, Love with John and Morgan Bender is a new project that seeks to do just that by engaging and inspiring Catholics within the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and beyond. Read personal faith stories, interviews, and news all by visiting the Faith, Hope, and Love blog.blogspot.com or follow us on Twitter at Johnny Bender MKE.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I'm Bill Snyder, and on today's program, I'm talking with Penny Warner. She is the founder with her husband of Grace and Mercy Ministries. She has so many things going on in her ministry, the Love Chaplet, and many other different media, music, just awesome stuff that she does. And we're talking today about the Christmas season, family, how to live your faith. And you know, Christmas—the Christmas day was yesterday, but it continues for a whole bunch more days. It goes all the way through the baptism of the Lord, which is the January 12th. So, Merry Christmas, and I wish people Merry Christmas all the way up until January 12th. By the way, because and they look at me like I've got seven heads. But, because Christmas is over on December 25th is not a real thing in the Catholic Church. So feel free to wish people Merry Christmas all the way up until January 12th. Those of you listening out there, I want to, kind of direct our conversation, Penny, into a little different, more personal type of way, and I want to do it from this aspect. We talked a lot about the corporate prayer, the family getting together, and all of those things, which is really important, around the holiday season to spend time with our family and learn how to stomach that and overcome some of the challenges that come with that. But when we talk about the window of time that we have during this year to step in faith, there's a beautiful one, because the culture kind of talks about goodwill more and more in our society. We see it in how the movies are presented. Every once in a while we catch A Wonderful Life. The songs talk about giving back to the community, spending time with our loved ones. So there's this inherent goodwill that our culture kind of embraces, that it doesn't embrace the other 11 months of the year. This month is the month of that goodwill. And so, you know, how do we capitalize on that in our personal prayer life and take it that step deeper and lead our families in prayer in a deeper way? How do we move into that?
Well, you know, we talk about the family, and what we were talking about earlier was that, you know, the church gives us different ways to be able to pray and to give us permission to go away and do those prayers. You know, like whatever we're doing at noon, you know, we could set our watch and say, oh, it's Angelus time. Okay. No matter what we're doing, we stop and say the Angelus as a prayer or, together, or, you know, at 3 o'clock, oh, it's Divine Mercy time. So we teach our kids, those special times of the day and how to pray. I just, have a really good friend who this year has taught me that, you know, I'll go over to their house and then alarm will go off. Oh, it's Angelus time. We literally stop and pray the Angelus, and we literally stop and pray the Divine Mercy. And as a parent, it's very important that our kids see that. You know, they're not going to just grab their rosary and say, oh, I'm going to go here and say a rosary. They don't, believe me, kids don't do that unless they're very, very special children, which I don't have that kind of a special child to just grab a rosary, you know, out of habit. So we teach our kids those habits in our own prayer life, and they see that. My son, he's a sophomore in school. He's already has discerned the priesthood. You know, he's learning those how to pray through my own personal prayer life, through his dad's own personal prayer life. So he will do those things on his own now. He has his own devotions. He just finished the 33 days to Morning Glory. Marian consecration, and he wants me to be, he makes me want to be holier, my son. I'm so proud of him. But so as a family, we want to adopt those habits. So, you know, each night we do have what we call a family rosary night. And at the beginning, you know, we would say, okay, it's time for rosary, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, it's time for rosary. And you'd hear, oh, really? We got to do. Yes, we have to do our rosary. So you have to get into a habit of doing that. No matter how tired you are, you as a parent, it's very important. It's your job, your vocation as a parent to teach these children the habit of prayer. So we'll go up. We have a little prayer space, a little prayer room that we go to, and we light our incense, and we sit down, and we each of us say a decade. Which is kind of cool because we have five people at home and we all say a decade. And so, of course, my daughter's away in college, but we do have the five here. So we have the decade. So we give our intention, you know, and we do what the station or the good grief, you know, joyful, the mystery. We figure out what the mystery is, and then the kids be like, okay, so what is the mystery today? Well, they can figure that out for themselves because that's what we have taught them. And so that's what we do. We just sit down. We have our blankets, you know, we just sit down in our little prayer space and we say the rosary together.
Yeah, you know, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's amazing how that prayer, you know, no matter what's going on in the house at the time, you know, arguments or chaotic stuff going on, we just say, okay, it's family rosary time. And we go upstairs, and it's amazing how much prayer can calm the family dynamic. It really is. And we have grown to love that time. Our kids have even, you know, they'll come, Mom, it's rosary time. If we miss a night, they'll remind us, oh, we missed last night. We can't miss rosary time. And it's amazing how much it has changed our family just in the short time that we've developed the habit of doing it. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was amazing. And, you know, the other night we were messaging back and forth on, Facebook Messenger, kind of setting up and talking about, you know, these episodes and whatnot. And it just was, I got to go do the family rosary. I'll be back. And that was awesome to see, you know, like there's a dedication, there it is. And I'm inspired by that, to be able to, you know, teach my children how to pray and when I have them and all of that stuff, right? I don't have kids yet, but I just got married. So as I have kids and grow, I mean, those are examples that and just by sharing it on the air, you are able to, you know, inspire others to do just that. It doesn't have to be incredibly complicated or hard, but all you have to do is set forth, all right, I'm going to set this time aside. I'm going to make it a priority in my life and for my family. And mm-hmm. as you mentioned, Penny, you know, you as a parent have that responsibility. So yes. You as a parent have the responsibility to cultivate your personal prayer life. And as you cultivate it and as you make it something that is your own, then what ends up happening is you're able to lead others in faith. So, wow, just powerful and really good stuff that you're sharing with us. I want to ask you, you know, again, these things fly by and we only have maybe about 3 or 4 minutes left. So I want to ask you a little bit about, I know, again, right? I want to ask you a little bit about your ministry and about how people can get in touch with you, and you know, find your music, find the Love Chaplet. We've done some other episodes as well, so go back and find them with Penny on Young Catholics Respond that really go into the Love Chaplet in detail. But just talk with us a little about how people can find you, and what you're doing now with your ministry and whatnot.
Okay, well, you know, you can find me on lovechaplet.com. My music is on there. Now the actual Love Chaplet prayer is on the website, but it is also on iTunes and even on YouTube. Even you could just get on there and put Love Chaplet Penny Warner, it'll come right up. And also on the website, you can request that I make and send a Love Chaplet to you. I make them all myself. It's an incredible honor to be able to make those and to send them to people. I love doing that. And it has grown. It has just grown on its own, organically. You know, little pockets of little rosary groups have taken the Love Chaplet and brought it into their little group. Also, you know, the Love Chaplet really has been like a one-on-one type of thing. People will become very devoted, and then they will spread it on their devotion to other people. You know, a lot of times they like to say the Love Chaplet right after communion, because it talks about our love for Christ and how much we love Him sacrificially, as He loved us sacrificially. So right after you take, you know, Jesus in, is a perfect time to say the Love Chaplet and thank Him and love Him for what He did for us, sacrifice His life for us. So lovechaplet.com, you can go on there. All my information is on there, and I would be glad and honored to be able to bring that to you as a devotion and a prayer. So
yes,
yeah, and my music on there too. I have other music on there that kind of funds that Love Chaplet. We don't ask for money for Love Chaplet, so we actually take 10% of all the grace and mercy money that we make, and it goes back into the Love Chaplet to make more chaplets and to grow that ministry.
How beautiful. How beautiful. want to remind everybody that website again is lovechaplet.com. And it is ecclesiastically approved in the Diocese of Kansas City, by the way. So if you're looking for, you know, an official pronouncement from the church or from a bishop, it is there. And it has been approved for Penny to spread the devotion. So how awesome and how beautiful is that? You know, it is through the obedience of that that it flows and the graces flow through. So definitely check it out. Again, it's lovechaplet.com. You'll find all the music. You'll find all her ministry stuff right there. So, Penny, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
All right. Well, yes, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.